Aung San Suu Kyi was extravagantly welcomed to this city, and I participated in that. I sang to her and spoke of her and raised her up on our hosannas, and I don't want to be on the same list as what the UN described as a genocidalist. I really don't. So, as I say, it's personal.
It was a very Bob Geldof thing to do, something that was technically impossible but needed to be done to make a point. None of the 82 recipients of the Freedom of Dublin had ever wanted to hand it back before. In fact, there is no actual mechanism to be taken off the illustrious role in question. So Geldof's protest was very much a symbolic one. And of course, not his first.
Nigel, you're a fraud. Britain makes more money than any other country in Europe from fishing. Britain has the second largest quota for fish in Europe after Denmark. Three. Britain has the third largest landings. You're a fraud, Nigel. Go back down the river, because you're up one without a canoe.
That was Bob Geldof's arguably ill-advised foray into the Brexit debate, a verbal tussle involving Nigel Farage on the Thames, which many argued backfired in the end, even if the idea had come from a good place. But what made Monday's stunt any different? Well, it's all about the context.
This will be one of the unforgettable days of my life. I have been welcomed to Ireland as though I belong to you. And for that, I thank you with all my heart. You have stood by us in our times of trouble. These troubles are not yet all over, and I'm confident that you will continue to stand with us. And please believe that when I say you are a part of my heart, I really mean it with my whole heart. Thank you.
Aung San Suu Kyi, in 2012, when she eventually made it to Dublin to accept the city's freedom. When it was awarded back in 1999, she was under house arrest by the Burmese military, becoming a cause celebre for freedom.
Today, I think everyone's allowing themselves some optimism. Dasuk calls it cautious optimism, but it's just a great thing that she came to Dublin, Ireland. She is, you know, literally, you know, she's got ridiculous demands on her schedule and wanted to do this. Wanted to thank the Irish people. Wanted to thank Amnesty and the U2 audience.
It's fair to say that no one at the time would have expected that she would go on to be accused of being a handmaiden to genocide. You'd like to think that would have given Dublin City councillors pause for thought had they known what was to come. But when circumstances change, it's about how society reacts to that new circumstance. Often in a way that history may judge rather harshly.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
President Donald Trump's response to NFL players who took a knee during the national anthem further polarized what was already a difficult debate. Players like Colin Kaepernick decided to protest over the number of innocent black Americans who were being shot dead by police. The manner of his protest, whilst causing anger, certainly drew attention to the cause.
For the land, hand of the free.
Overnight, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick refusing to stand during the national anthem again. This time, he took a knee, right behind hundreds of service members being honored on Military Appreciation Night. As the crowd and players stand, you can see Kaepernick kneeling on the sideline, teammate Eric Reid joining him.
Going to stand.
And he's receiving heavy boos here.
The crowd booing every time he took a snap.
He's entitled to his opinion. We fought for that. I just think he's a jerk.
And now the quarterback sparking new controversy for wearing these socks showing police officers as pigs.
While Kaepernick was supported by many of his fellow players, his statement has cost him dearly. He's still out of a job, despite being the league's most valuable player. He didn't have to hand back an award. He gave up his career for a protest that was simply too toxic in the current US political climate.
Part of what makes this country special is that we respect people's rights to have a different opinion. And to make different decisions about how they want to express their concerns. And the test of our fidelity to our Constitution, to freedom of speech, to our Bill of Rights, is not when it's easy, but when it's hard. We fight sometimes so that people can do things that we disagree with.
A different view there from a very different president. Kaepernick knew that for his protest to succeed, he'd need the support of others. And there's always safety in numbers.
Pash, renowned writer Arundhati Roy returned on Thursday her national award for the best screenplay she won in 1989. Returning her award, the Booker Prize winner said that she was proud to join the writers, filmmakers and academics who have returned their awards to protest against the attack on minorities, murder of rationalists, threat to the free speech, enforcement of beef ban and vicious remarks by the leaders of BJP and RSS.
We're not overly familiar here with the intolerance protests in India. Various literary figures giving back awards in protest against growing violence and horrific murders by right-wing groups. One of the most high-profile mentioned there, Arundhati Roy. An intensely political debate, it eventually drew support from a familiar name.
But first tonight, the big story. The fight over intolerance has now spilled over to the streets. Congress President Sonia Gandhi led a march of top Congress leaders, including Rahul Gandhi, to Rashtrapati Bhavan. Congress leaders covered the distance of a kilometer from the Gandhi statue in Parliament to Raisina Hill. Sonia handed over a memorandum over alleged intolerance, growing intolerance in the country, to President Pranab Mukherjee. Sonia and Rahul Gandhi claimed later that Prime Minister Narendra Modi endorses divisive action and deliberately fans fear and intolerance. The BJP hit back, accusing the Congress of hypocrisy.
What's collectively described as intolerance is continuing in India, and according to reports, has even spread to other Indian communities in countries like Britain. The protests, while well made, didn't really make much of a difference. But perhaps the best way to protest something, an award for example, is not to accept it in the first place. There's quite a long list of people who've turned down a trip to the palace to be knighted by the British Queen. Filmmaker Danny Boyle amongst them.
Along with many people, I was very moved by your integrity in refusing a knighthood. How long did it take you to decide this? I didn't even know that. Like, they put that comment in. I had no idea that you refused a knighthood. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You refuse a knighthood.
No. It's not. It's a whole other world, really, yeah. Which I don't want to be part of. It's just not something. It's a personal thing. It's just, I knew immediately. It wasn't my cup of tea, as we say right. In Britain.
The list of would-be knights is relatively short, but includes luminaries such as David Bowie and Albert Finney. Poet Benjamin Zephaniah turned down an OBE.
I was in complete disbelief that it was offered to me in the first place. A book I had written a couple of years before that, the very first poem in that book, called Bought and Sold, makes it absolutely clear that I would never accept that. An OBE or anything from monarchy in that sense, and that I was very critical of people that did so. And I think it's not a mystical poem, it's not a metaphysical poem, you know, it's really straight down the line. And so that told me one thing, that whoever got them up to this hadn't really looked at my work seriously.
It's hard to argue which is better, turning down an award on principle or trying to make a point by giving one back. But both get noticed, which is why Bob Geldof's stunt on Monday still had significance.
This is Rakhine State, the centre of the Myanmar military's brutal crackdown. And we are the first outsiders here, the first to independently see what's being denied by the Myanmar authorities.
From Alex Crawford's report on Sky News last Monday.
They are desperate. Their hands are outstretched, begging to leave. The wailing is haunting. But no one is listening. Thousands of them are trapped on this beach alone, waiting for help, which has so far failed to arrive.
The city of Dublin fated Aung San Suu Kyi when she was thousands of miles away under house arrest. She went on to thank that city for standing by the people of Burma during what she described as their time of trouble, adding that she was confident the city would continue to stand by them. Her words, somewhat prophetic, albeit in a different light. Because at least for a time on Monday, that same city paused for thought about what was happening under her leadership some 18 years later. Sometimes a symbolic stunt is just what's needed to catch our attention. All this you can leave
behind. All that you reason. This is not yet the end. There's a long way to go, and the way might be very, very hard. So please stand by.